You're listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Tuesday edition. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. This show is full of information here today, and it kicks off with a feature report from Taylor Chalstrom right after this.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Under drought conditions, it's never been more important to wake it up. Phycoterra, a superior soil microbial food, activates the native microbes responsible for your soil's health and water-holding capacity. Adding Phycoterra to your crop increases water retention up to 10% and optimizes crop nutrient availability. Plus, it delivers excellent mixability and application flexibility, making it easy to add to your existing crop input strategy. Visit Phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
Last week's Citrus Showcase put on by California Citrus Mutual is officially a wrap. The industry event featured stellar attendance and networking opportunities, as well as keynote comments from Rabobank's Roland Fumasi and California Lieutenant Governor Koulinakis. Citrus Mutual President Casey Creamer joined the show to discuss his thoughts on the showcase and a quick recap.
Oh, it was a fantastic event. It's been a long 2 years. That's kind of my comments earlier today, and just the energy and the excitement of having people here and being able to, you know, network. I mean, forget about the programs. Just to be, what other place can you be where citrus industry, the citrus grower, to see all your friends and colleagues in one place? And we had a lot of that today, and just very exciting to have it be back.
Creamer said some of the feedback he got at the conference was good as well.
Big thing was just the great to be here and great to be with friends and colleagues, and it was well organized. I mean, there's always little kinks and things that with a trade show, what can go wrong will go wrong, but for the most part it was a great, spacious event. We had food was excellent, the speakers just hit it out of the park, and just honored to be back and be here. So
Creamer said coming back to the conference being in person sets the show up well for next year.
It's just been recently that all of these restrictions have come off, and I think it was just last week that some of the mask mandates went away. And so, you know, here you got an indoor show, and so there's a lot of still restrictions that when we did in the planning that we couldn't quite get to everything that we wanted to do and the vision for the show. And I think next year will be even better.
The keynote speakers, Rabobank's Roland Fumasi and Lieutenant Governor Koulinakis, were also well received.
We were lucky to have the speakers that we did. You know, Dr. Roland Fumasi from, you know, Rabobank, heads up their research. I mean, they're looking at all the data, the indicators of, you know, costs and revenue for growers and for agriculture. And those are the things that our growers tell us all the time that they care about. And so from a high level perspective, and also say how things are going to be looked in the future, Roland hit it out of the park. And so that was fantastic. And I think the feedback that I got from the people that were there said it was very informative. It was very good to get, you know, the citrus growers looking the here and now, right? How do I make my operations work today and next week? But to get that broader perspective.
Creamer said that the big takeaway from the lieutenant governor, who is the first female elected to that position in the state of California, is that she really cares about the industry.
She cares, right? And so, you know, there's a lot of people with the politics and the polarization of politics on both sides of the aisle. People get disenfranchised with government. And what you see in the media is not a good representation of what actually happens and the inner workings of government and our leadership. And also that the perspectives of the people that are there. And I can tell you, you know, you may not agree with her on everything, and nobody agrees with everybody on everything, but she cares about California. She cares about this industry. She cares about agriculture, and she wants to see the entire state succeed. And we just have to take those opportunities to listen to her, and also she's taken the opportunity to listen to us. And I think she walked away after this 2 days that she spent with us more educated and more passionate about helping this region succeed in the current role that she's in and all future roles that she may end up in.
In September of last year, the California Air Resources Board announced its next iteration of their Large Spark Ignited Regulation, or Forklift Rule 2.0. The LSI regulation included propane forklifts used in agricultural operations like tree nut haulers and processors. That iteration of the LSI was proposing to mandate all electric forklifts across the board, with a few exceptions. In proposing to mandate all electric forklifts, the California Air Resources Board indicated that they believed it was cheaper to own and operate an electric forklift than a propane forklift. This new proposed mandate came in the midst of agricultural operations required to meet other regulatory burdens like the tractor rule and truck rule. Director of Regulatory Affairs and Food Safety Priscilla Rodriguez of Western Agricultural Processors Association joined the show to give an update on what the forklift rule looks like right now.
Recently, CARB just held its workshop on their proposed forklift regulation that they're trying to do. This was an update. The last meeting that they had was in August of last year, and so this month they had another one, or actually we're in March now. They held their update, and so that included some interesting changes in it. I would say one of the more interesting changes in it is that it is going to now include rental companies. So when they initially came out with this rule, they weren't including rental companies. It was just not just ag operations. It was all operations in the state of California were going to be required to convert over to electric forklifts beginning in 2026. Now this last draft included rental companies, as I mentioned. So rental companies will still be able to rent propane forklifts after 2026. But they have this 30-day window that they can allow folks to operate in. So it's a little interesting and kind of confusing, but they're still in the building process, so this may or may not change. But as proposed, what it would allow ag folks to do is to rent propane forklifts, but they only have a 30-day operational window. So for example, if you wanted to rent 40 forklifts in that 30-day window, you can do that, but you can't extend longer than 30 days. Well, we all know ag operations aren't a 30-day window, right? So for the tree nuts, usually, you know, those operations last are either year-round, or for our hullers, they last anywhere from 2.5 months to 3 months, right? So if you have this 30-day window of renting that propane forklift, you can't do it. It doesn't work. Gotcha. So that there's obviously some issues there, because you could do 40 in 30 days, but you can't do 2 30-day days back-to-back. Really odd. So that certainly causes a confusion, or causes a problem.
Of course, when the mandate goes into effect in 2026, facilities will need to have the infrastructure to charge forklift rentals.
If I'm renting 30 forklifts, I have to make sure that I have the capacity in my facility to be able to charge those 30
right.
forklifts.
Yeah.
And a lot of facilities now we're finding simply don't have that. And amongst just the rental, it's trying to build that infrastructure in, which costs is very, very, very costly. So you can think of, we've gone to a couple of facilities and they talk about having to do system upgrades that include new transformers, and that's a hefty project, just getting that one cost alone and time getting PG&E out there to actually do it. So those are some of the issues that are kind of coming along. Now, I mentioned this forklift rule is for any propane forklift. So ag is being treated the same as anybody else, as a warehouse that runs year round. So certainly we're not the same. It doesn't work the same for us. We can't spread those costs along to our consumers. Growers members just have to eat that cost. So it's something that doesn't work, especially when you're only operating two to three months out of the year, right? You buy this equipment, you pay this capital cost, but you're only working it 3 months out of the year and it's sitting for 9 months out of the year. It doesn't make sense. So this is definitely something that we're fighting up against. Educating CARB staff on the information that they're providing us, and we're providing information to them. We're also working with other ag industry folks, and we're gonna be doing a cost analysis to show exactly the effects that it's going to include when you talk about capital costs, infrastructure upgrades, and what will that cost actually be, right? So how much are you spending to reduce so much ton of reduction for air quality, for emissions? So that's kind of where we're at right now in the process, and those are some recent changes. Another recent change is they're changing the timeline on it. So they are now going to be pushing this to 2023, introducing it or proposing it to the board for consideration, CAR board in 2023. So we do have a little bit more time, and then compliance would start in 2026. So there is some time, some flexibility that was added on there. But if you think about having to make that transition, it can come pretty soon, right? 4 years is it will come and go very quickly. So it's something that we're trying to get ahead of now.
Rodriguez said Western Agricultural Processors Association is a good resource for the forklift rule and updates, and is working diligently with California Air Resources Board as well as processors and growers to show them what they can do now.
Another big one is incentive funding. So incentive funding has worked with other things like your tractor replacements, right? That has been a very successful program, and it can be very successful as well for this. So it's if that's one area where we're pushing, where it would help growers convert over, or, you know, haulers or our members to convert over to the zero emission.
Information about incentive funding can be found on the Air Pollution Control District website, although Rodriguez said there aren't many opportunities for incentives for forklifts at the moment.
It's anything that's over, has lift capacity, but over 12,000 pounds. And most incentive funding, so most people have forklifts that are 12,000 pounds or less. So it's a little difficult right now. So there really isn't a lot of propane incentive fundings for propane forklifts, but that's something that we definitely want to go through in the future.
Rodriguez also mentioned that there will be exemptions for rough terrain forklifts at operations which utilize pneumatic tires, different from electric forklifts which use solid tires, which does not allow them to be used on rough terrain like dirt.
There's going to be exemptions for rough terrain forklifts just because the technology doesn't exist for rough terrain forklifts, so that is one of the changes. That's one thing. There is a low use exemption, so if you use it less than 200 hours per year, you can qualify on that, but that is going to be, they're going to give you a longer timeline to use it, but it's going to be phased out as well. So those are some other details that are important to know.
Last month, a report from UC Merced came out talking about the economic impacts of the 2021 drought to California agriculture. Last year's drought cost California agriculture almost $1 billion. We sat down with associate professor at UC Merced, Josue Medellin Azuara, to chat a little bit more about the report.
This report is part of almost a three-year project commissioned by the Department of Food and Agriculture in California, in which we will look into economic impacts of drought, but also build some tools that will help identify vulnerabilities of drought and areas in which some assistance, some help might be needed for ag and communities.
As discussed previously, the economics of the 2021 drought were pretty significant, especially in the state of California. We dug in deeper to the report and what the economics really looked like.
With the water shortage, there's some room, as I mentioned, to adapt to these droughts. And these adaptations can take the form of land fallowing, stress irrigation, trading of water between regions, changes in the cropping patterns, and other sorts of things. And in California, agriculture is really innovative, and has managed to adapt to these droughts over the course of its history. So some of the adaptation measures include fallowing, and that becomes at a cost. So the cost that we estimate of those nearly 400,000 acres in of additional fallowing in 2021 compared to pre-drought conditions come at a cost of about $900 million. And also to replace some of the surface water losses, additional pumping is needed. And that comes at a cost of about $185 million, according to our estimates. So altogether, this brings direct cost to agriculture of about $1.2 billion. And when you take into account the multiplier effects on the regional economies, employment, and sectors that supply goods and services to agriculture, the revenue losses can go up to $1.7 billion with about 14,000 jobs lost in agriculture or not supported this year.
Although there are some things that we can take away from this report to adapt, we are looking at a dry year this year. That is coupled with some higher commodity prices, and that could mean more economic losses to the ag industry.
There were some learning from this drought too. See, this drought came also after, in a recovery period from the pandemic. So we at the time that we have water shortages, we have commodity prices that are relatively high. So that might give to some the impression that agriculture is just doing fine, even at a drought. But there are places or certain commodity groups that do not benefit from those high commodity prices and might face some challenges to cope with the higher costs of drought. So at the same time that the commodity prices, such as the milk price that depends on national prices is high, there are higher costs to bring water or feed crops to some of the livestock in the state. And we are looking into a dry year this so far. Unless we have significant precipitation events coming to our state, we are well below average in many of the indicators, including the snowpack, the levels in some reservoirs, and runoff. And that can compound the impacts from the with the past year's drought, and make the economic impacts this time around a little higher.
A check-in of regional and national agricultural news coming your way right after this. Here on the My AgLife Daily News Report, I'm Lori Boyer.
Soil and Crop Incorporated is your number one resource for sustainable nutrition. Growers are faced with difficult challenges, and Soil and Crop Inc. has the experience, fertilizer, and biological portfolio to dramatically increase yield and performance in your troubled orchards and fields. Contact Soil and Crop Incorporated today for a free consultation on how we can help reverse the challenges you face as a conventional or organic grower so you can increase your bottom line and become a better sustainable farmer. Contact us today at 559-564-1236 or visit our website at www.callnrg.com. Soil and Crop, putting nature to work for you.
Jim Baer, president and CEO at USA Apple, says the farming community needs the Biden administration to reverse the tariffs imposed on China by the Trump administration, but right now there is no interest in doing so. He says exports of Washington apples have dropped considerably over the recent years, thanks to the 50% price increase currently imposed by China. He noted that what had been a bright spot for American apple growers has really fallen off thanks to the trade war initiated by the previous administration.
We had hopes that the new administration was going to come in and undo those tariffs. And to the contrary, they're getting a lot of push from influential organizations and labor unions and others to not only maintain the tariffs, but even expand them. And that would just be absolutely the wrong thing for U.S. agriculture.
Baer added the recent comments from USA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack and U.S. Trade Representative Katherine Tai indicate nothing will change in D.C. anytime soon.
This administration is not looking to change the trade disputes, the tariffs with China currently, even though they're getting a lot of advice from U.S. agriculture to enter new trade deals, but that's not going to happen anytime soon. U.S. Apple's been meeting with the Biden administration since just after the election, and we've been making that case over and over again, and I have to tell you, it's tough sledding.
Baer added it's a bleak picture, and he would like to see someone take up the battle and fight for U.S. agriculture because, as he put it, the pain is being felt across all commodities. First partner Jennifer Siebel Newsom announced a release of Planting the Seed Farm to School Roadmap for Success, a report promoting the expansion of farm to school programs across California to advance child well-being, equity, economic growth, and environmental resilience. Access to high-quality fresh foods can increase students' consumption of fruits and vegetables and support children's physical health, while hands-on experimental learning opportunities like gardening and cooking serve to improve educational outcomes and support whole child development. Farm-to-school programs allow students to learn about the relationships between food systems and the environment. First partner Siebel Newsom said planting a seed is a roadmap to strengthen a state's school food system, nurture children's minds and bodies, and cultivate a healthier, more equitable, climate-smart California for all. During the pandemic, approximately one in four low-income families in the state relied on food from schools to cover food shortages. Nationally, people of color are more likely to experience food insecurity, hunger, childhood obesity, and diabetes in both rural and urban communities. Farm-to-school programs promote economic growth in local communities through local procurement and incentivize climate-smart, regenerative agriculture practices. Planting the Seed outlines specific recommendations, including allocating funding to scale up farm-to-school programs that encourage and prioritize equitable, climate-smart procurement, investing in school food careers and scratch cooking infrastructure to ensure school nutrition teams can prepare delicious, nutritious, and locally sourced meals, developing optional model K-12 food education standards to help students understand how food impacts health, culture, biodiversity, and climate, strengthening relationships between schools and producers, expanding and creating inclusive access to school food markets for a wide range of California producers, especially small and mid-scale producers, and producers that are Black, Indigenous, or people of color, and producers that utilize climate-smart regenerative agricultural practices, investing in evaluation and research, and developing an annual California farm-to-school census. Agriculture is taking another hit as low temperatures are expected throughout the valley. The Bureau of Reclamation has announced most irrigation districts in the Central Valley will have zero water allocations to start the year. The first 2 months of the year are normally the wettest, but this year is already off to a historically dry start, and experts predict tough times ahead for local farmers. The Central Valley Project dictates where federal waters go, and they say this year farmers in the Westlands Water District will not receive any water and must rely on groundwater or other sources. The California Department of Food and Agriculture is now accepting applications for the California Fruit Tree, Nut Tree, and Grapevine Improvement Advisory Board research grant proposals. The funds are used to promote the production of fruit tree, nut tree, and grapevines, resulting in improved nursery stock. The intended research should address important disease and pest problems or other cultural aspects of fruit tree, nut tree, and grapevine nursery stock production. Funding is made possible from industry assessments. Projects funded through the IAB commonly include elements such as research of diseases and genetic disorders, variety identification, education and outreach, alternative treatment methods, and rootstock advancements as it relates to the production of high-quality tree and grapevine nursery stock. For more information, log on to the California Department of Food and Agriculture website at www.cdfa.ca.gov. The application window will end on April 1st at 5 p.m. The specialty crop community is asking Congress to increase appropriations for the IR4 project in fiscal year 2023 from $11.9 million to the congressionally authorized amount of $25 million. Funding for the IR4 project is included in the U.S. Department of Agriculture appropriations in the National Institute of Food and Agriculture Research and Education section as line item minor crop pest management. The IR4 project was established in 1963 by USDA. It aids specialty crop agriculture by developing data needed to facilitate the registration of crop protection products for fruits, vegetables, herbs, spices, ornamental plants, and other horticultural crops. Products supported by IR4 reduce food waste while maximizing returns to the agriculture community. To learn more about the project and its activities, log on to www.ir4project.org, and that is with the number 4.
Being a member of the California walnut industry means working together to advance the industry through advocacy, research programs, and promoting walnuts with smart, cost-effective marketing. Learn more at walnuts.org.
Soil fumigation is a critical step to ensure that your orchard gets off to a good start. Trichlor is a pre-plant soil fumigant and is the foundation for a successful pest management system. Targeted pathogens include soil-borne disease and nematodes. Fumigation helps to create a healthy soil environment that allows the plant's root system to flourish. For more information about Tricor or to schedule an application, contact Trical Incorporated at 669-327-5076 or visit www.trical.com.
In national news here today, according to the National Milk Producers Federation, the stage is being set for 2022 to be a considerably better year than most of the last several for U.S. dairy farmers. Record exports, flat milk production, just over 0.5% milk solids production growth, and over 2% consumption growth made a winning combination during the fourth quarter of 2021, sending some key prices to longtime high levels at the start of this year. Meanwhile, as foreign and domestic demand increases, domestic stock levels are not burdensome by several metrics for most major dairy product categories. The National Milk Producers Federation has released a full dairy market report. You can find that on their website. And their website is nmpf.org. Ag law and tax professor Roger McCowan has some last-minute pointers to help farmers and ranchers as March 1st approaches.
For those that file by the March 1 deadline, the return should pretty much be done by now. I would say make sure to look over the return before it is filed. Did you properly claim all of the farm-related deductions you are entitled to and can substantiate? If you weren't able to deduct the amount of prepaid expenses that you were anticipating because of a lack of supply or high cost of inputs might have limited you in doing so, then you might want to consider making a farm income averaging election. If you purchased equipment and it was ready and available for use in 2021, did you claim the amount of depreciation that is optimal from a tax planning standpoint? Remember, 100% bonus depreciation may not be available after 2022.
McCowan adds that the key is to make sure your tax planning is in line with your management goals.
Well, the answer is largely tied to what happens in the farm economy and how it impacts a particular farm or ranch operation. Every situation is unique. The key is to make sure your tax planning fits within your overall management goals and objectives and improves the bottom line. That may mean accelerating deductions and pushing income into the next tax year, or it could mean the opposite. It might also mean that the timing of asset purchases matters. In any event, it's imperative to stay connected to your tax professional.
Ag Law and Tax Professor Roger McCowan. If you have not already heard by now, USDA has a new way to provide any farmer who has a smartphone to get instant access to USDA market reports. USDA Farm News reporter Gary Crawford has more.
There they go. When the Wright brothers flew that first plane, it eventually would redefine how we travel. When the first computers were introduced, it would later redefine how we work. And the smartphone certainly has redefined how we live. Now, a few weeks ago, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack announced the release of
the first Market News mobile app,
which he says will provide all farmers, large and small, with
instant access to market information.
And sure enough, in this case, there are people already saying
it will redefine how market news information is accessed and used.
That's John Gallagher. He helps run the market news division of the USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service. And he says from now on, you won't need computers or expensive private services to get market sales and price information. It will all be available to you via that mobile app, which is available on iOS or Android phones. To find and download that app,
go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and just search for USDA Market News, and it'll come right up.
And soon you'll have access to mind-boggling amounts of information, current and historical. John says his division releases 1,000 market reports every week. So here's how this mobile app works.
The small producer downloads the app. They install it. We felt that it was important for them to be able to look at reports around them. So it will ask if you want to share your location. When you do that, we will tell you within a radius that you, as the user, control what's around you in terms of reports. If you want to narrow it down to a 50-mile range around your farm, you can do that. And once you find the report you want, you add it to your favorites, and you can subscribe to it. And when you subscribe to it, you are instantly notified the moment that report is released to the world, so that you are on a level playing field with all the rest of the world in terms of information access.
What I like about it is that it is easy to use. It is designed with the users in mind.
That's Undersecretary of Agriculture for Marketing, Jenny Moffitt, and she says using it is fairly intuitive, but for folks like me.
There's also tutorials as well that are built in for first-time users to get the most out of the experience as well.
And John Gallagher says there is a lot to get out of this app. Farmers can do a great many things. For example, when they get a report,
they can send the report to other folks. They can find it by state, by commodity, or by region.
Now, right now, the app gives you all the USDA reports on livestock, poultry, and grain markets. Later this summer, the sequel, version 2, will add reports on cotton, dairy, and specialty crops. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.